Thank you, Vadim. Amen and amen. Anybody else maybe have a birthday between now and Saturday? Maybe not on our list, birthday or an anniversary? Nah? Because if you come the week of your birthday, we will consistently embarrass you and call you out so that everybody knows it's your birthday. But I'm a little warm, so I am going to lose this. All right. Thanks, Dave. Well, it is Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday. Amazing how quick the time goes, and how good God is, it comes to my mind often, I say it often, but his timetable is perfect. It's perfect. He hasn't delayed too long, he hasn't let the world get too messed up. This is a part of his sovereign plan. None of this surprises him, right? He warned us, he told us things were going to happen. And he told us there'd be a great deception. A lot of things are gonna come on this world, but he is still in control. So let me pray before I get too much further. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you. I don't know what else to say, but thank you. Thank you that we can come before you. Lord, to think that the saints of old, Lord, back when you were first calling Israel, Lord, it was only the high priest and only once a year could he even get into your presence. And even then, he had to keep sacrificing for his sins, for the sins of the people, Lord, just hoping that your holiness wouldn't consume him. And yet, Lord, here we stand, and the curtain's torn, and the Holy of Holies is open. Open to sinful men and women as they come through the curtain that is the body of your Son, ripped for us, torn apart for us. And as we go through, Lord, that blood covers us. It covers us, just like the doorposts of the Israelites' homes. And death no longer has a place. And there ain't no grave anymore. So, Lord, thank you. Lord, lead me this morning. Lead me this morning as I just love on your people and open your word, Lord, the way you've given it to us. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So had some of you heard that Ain't No Grave song before? It's got a history. It was actually recorded shortly before he died by Johnny Cash. It was actually written in the, I think, 1930s, believe it or not. It's a Southern song. It's got that beat to it. But I appreciated it. And just found myself, obviously, today as much as any other day, but all the more in this week, even on Good Friday, to try to take in, what God had done. What he had done. And I know many of you came and we had the area here set up for communion, and quite a few people came throughout the day, and I trust you were able to have some intimate time with God. But as I, start to prepare for the day and have my usual processes of things, and I'm like, it's Resurrection Sunday. It's Resurrection Sunday. And of course, there's a part of me that says, well, shouldn't every day be resurrection? You're alive because he's alive, right? That's the only reason you're alive. Amen. And as I'm just saying, what different or extra or special can I say? And I'm like, when did I ever think I was going to come up with something extra or special? Like, really? Really? He did it all, right? Well, there were seven things that Jesus uttered from the cross that day, right? And the most profound one was, it's finished. It is finished. It being all of what God had desired and planned was being accomplished. And as he was literally there, right, literally there by his own choice, right? We've been studying in John, and we're actually going to be in John in a moment here. Jesus said, nobody takes my life from me. I have life in and of myself. Nobody takes it. I lay it down. But I lay it down because I'm going to take it up again. He always knew what was before him. And even when the humanity of who he was caused him to sweat blood, okay, he never wavered. The closest he got to wavering was just asking God, is there any other way? And when God either didn't answer or said there's no other way, it's okay. He said, that's right. I'm going to do your will. I'm going to do your will. And it's a heavy and even, I'll call it odd thing to think about, that it was God's will for Jesus to be killed the way that he was. And you need the revelation of what God has told us in the grand scheme of what he is up to even have it remotely make sense. It's the same exact thing that happened to Abraham, right? Abraham's listening to God. He's following God. And God is saying, I want you to take your son, your one, your only son, and bring him up on this mountain and kill him. Now, if any of you said that to any of us in leadership, we would say, that's not God. Right? We say, that's not God. Right? But as God was revealing himself and making him known and making himself known to Abraham, okay, we know what happened. Right? Right as he was about to kill him. Yes, he continued to listen and he heard when God stopped him. Right? But it was a picture of what God was going to carry through on his own son. He was going to carry it out. Okay? But unlike Jacob, Jesus was perfect. So when he died, ain't no grave was going to keep his body down. It couldn't. It couldn't. And that's why the truth of the scripture that says, you know, death, where's your victory? Grave, where's your sting? I'm going to reverse those, but... You know, that's the question that's then asked. And we walk through this life and we, you know, grasp at all that it has. Right? And for a long time, especially for as long as media has painted pictures for us, right? Because that's not really that long. That media has been as big as it is so that we see these things and somehow they become bigger than life. So whether it's the thing you think you can't live without that you didn't even know existed until today, and now I can't live without it, or whether it's the celebrity of people who are good actors, right? So they're good at performing a role. That's their skill, right? That's their skill. Yet because the platform that they've been given has many people look at them, and we can even admire their skill, we somehow take who they are and elevate what they say about everything to have as much importance as the big picture they seem to be. And some of the stuff they say is cuckoo. Right? You have to know who you're listening to. You have to know. And that's why God, in his love, would not let the rocks cry out. He wouldn't let just, you know, the nature, the trees praise him. He actually said, I'm going to put my spirit in man. I'm going to give him a new heart. I'm going to take out that broken, stony heart. I'm going to give him a fleshly heart, and I'm going to allow him to know me, and they can all know me. This is profound. It's profound, and none of this is in my notes, but that's okay. So I saw Bob on the way in, and I'm like, oh, I gotta print my message. And I didn't print it at home. That's a whole side story. And so I put my computer up. I hit print. I walk out of the room. I'm coming with you guys. You know, we're done. I'm like, oh, let me go grab my notes. And I'm like, printer jam. I'm like, I don't have time for this. So hence my laptop. So we'll see if I can figure out where I'm going today. No, I know where I'm going. And I know where we're going. Because I know who we're going with, right? And that really is, I'll say, the crux. And Haley's word this morning from God couldn't have been any more, not only on, but so confirming for me, because I'm like, that's my outline for today. Thank you, Lord. But that's exactly what God does, right? As we're walking with him through life, when you think like you're like literally, all right, God, I know I'm walking by faith and not by sight, but can I see something once in a while that lets me know that we're okay? Right? I heard a pastor friend who's been pastoring for decades, has a large church over in Southwest Jersey. You know, he says, can I tell you that sometimes I'm there worshiping and I've prepared and I'm praying and I'm like, God, please, can I just feel you? Can I just feel you? You know, decades of walking with God, and yet we all do it by faith. We all do it by faith. But because he loves us so much, he's going to do and orchestrate things in your life so that you're going to know when it's him. You can't deny it. You can't deny it. That becomes your testimony. The situations and the circumstances that nobody can take from you. Nobody can tell you that didn't happen. Okay? Nobody can try to, you know, outspin, you know, using science. All right, science. All right? Yeah. Men and women studying what God just spoke out. Right? And they come up with theories on how they think he did it. And those theories hold water for a while until someone comes up with a better theory. Now all of a sudden, everyone before then was an idiot, and now we're in the new light of brilliance. Until someone else comes up with the next better explanation. Right? He revealed. He has revealed. That's the only way we can know anything, is what he's revealed. But because he loves us the way he does, he has revealed himself to us. Right? He called out Abraham, he called out that nation, and he said the whole world, all of creation is going to be blessed through you. Yeah, because he knew that in Abraham and through Abraham's seed, he was going to bring about salvation for all humanity. And that's what we celebrate this morning. You've probably all heard folks say things like, you know what? I don't know what you Christians are on about. All roads lead to God. Come on. We die, and all roads lead to God. And from that perspective, you can say that all roads lead to God. Right? But there's only one road that leads you to be with God and not just show up before him. Because the scriptures tell us, it's appointed man once to die, and then comes judgment. Okay? So you will be before God. But the question is, will you be with God? And if you think you're going to be with him, why? Like, what gives you that assurance in your being that I'm going to be with God? Because as we see revealed in the scriptures, and I'm thinking for most of us, you know, your experience sooner or later shows you, I am not infinite, right? I do not know a lot. There's a lot of things I just don't know. I can't know. I'm not infinite. Now, God's given some people brilliant minds, right? Their ability to think and reason is like, whoa, that was deep. There's even a few people right now alive, and they've been alive at different periods of time, that have something called total memory recall. Right? Total memory recall. And if you don't, if you haven't heard about it, look it up. Mary Lou Henner, the actress, she's in the show Taxi, one of the few people that has this ability. And what they can do is, as they sit and think, she likens it to almost like going through a file. And so she can start to remember, somebody says the day, okay, she'll start to think about the day, and it's like she says, I take the file out, and there's just more and more pages in there with all the details, and she can recall every detail. I want to say there's maybe, was it like 10 people alive in the world that they've discovered? Some people have degrees of it, but hers is at one of the highest degrees. And could you imagine? You never win an argument. I didn't say that. Oh, yes, you did. You know? Right, she said her husband's never right. That's why she's been married 3 times. I think it was, right? Was it you? No? Oh, okay. Laurel, keep me straight. She's like, no. But actually, no, now I remember now. She's one of the few people with this that are married, right? Weren't a lot of them single? Yep, and she has a son that might have it. But when I read scriptures like John's account of what happened, like John gives us in 14 through 17 stuff that nobody else did. Things that Jesus said with an intimacy. I'm like, and Jesus told them, the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to bring to your remembrance what I said. Okay? That same Holy Spirit gets deposited in you when you, by faith, call on Jesus. So I have no problem when I read the scriptures and I'm reading John telling me about something. I'm like, there's a lady alive today that can do that if she was there. You know, so I'm actually hoping to run into her again one day so I can say, hey, I met you in Park City, Utah at Dr. Furman's health retreat, and have her go, Tom, your wife's name is Laura. I go, yeah! But more than that, I want to, and I hope you too, want to have that day when you stand before God and Jesus says, I know your name. Because you're mine. You've been following me. You've been hearing my voice. You've been walking with me. You've gone where I led you. Right? We've read in the chapters leading up to chapter 14, you know, Jesus saying, my sheep, they hear my voice. And I lead them and they follow me. And we need to continually ask ourselves, what voice are we listening to? Because there's voices. And I'm not being spooky hooky on you. Though there's that too, you know. But, you know, there's an inner voice that we all choose to listen to one degree or another. And there's our own thinking. And if we're not intently, okay, washing our minds with what God has revealed to be right and true, it is being washed by what other people say is right and true. One of the things that comes out in the scriptures is that you will be able to discern both good and evil. Right? That is a sign of being a mature believer. Like Paul at one point was getting on with one of the letters that he wrote, like, you guys are still babies. By now you should be further along being able to distinguish good and evil. Because there is an enemy, okay, his job is deception and lying. And he's good at it. He's a little too good at it from our perspective. Okay? But that doesn't mean we fear him. It just means we need the one who can truly see to show us what's right and what's wrong. And that's why he sent the Holy Spirit. He said, he's going to come. He's going to show you what's right and wrong. He's going to convict, right? He's going to testify into your heart what's really right and true so that nobody is going to stand before God at the end and say, the way I think it's Hawking claimed, you know, that you just didn't show me. I just didn't know. Don't hold me to that one. If it's not him, it's somebody else relatively famous like that, Sagan or one of those, you know, astrophysicist guys that, meanwhile, they have their fingers are touching parts of what God said his glory reveals, the heavens, right? One scientist has said, you know, if man is all that there is that God created, that has this sort of intelligence, then the universe is like way too big. Like, so I think there must be other life out there. But do you know what the scriptures tell us the heavens are for? To declare his glory. That's what they're for. Right? He didn't say, I have to put life in all these other places. Right? But we will stand before God and answer for our life. Yet you want Jesus to stand up and say, this one's mine. This one's mine. And that's what we celebrate this morning, is that many of us in this room have said, Jesus, I need you. I need you. I can't stand before God on my own. I mean, Isaiah is a prophet of God, right? God's Spirit has come on him, and he has felt God speak through him. And yet when he had a vision that brought him before God, all he could say is, I am unclean. I am unclean. When we sang in the Revelation song about rainbows of color, and I was getting this picture in my mind of the way light refracts into a prism and shows us all those colors, and it's a part of why I prayed what I did as I started to pray and realizing that how much light reveals and shows things. As my eyesight was slowly going the direction of age, you know, for a long time I was kind of proud of my sight. You know, I was in my 40s, no glasses, I could like read really far away. At one point, my eye test said I had better than 20/20, I had like 20/10 vision. You know, it's all getting good. I never noticed, I found myself like opening things and going over to the window. I don't know how long, it was probably months, and I was starting to get frustrated. I never actually thought like glasses are what you need, dude. And so to think about God in perfect, pure light, and we get closer to him and closer to him. Is it any wonder that you look down and you're like, oh, I didn't think this shirt had a stain. And you get closer and you're like, it's not stained, it's filthy. And you get closer and you're like, it's me, I'm filthy. Okay? But without the light really shining on me, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. This word tells me man lives in darkness. Right? So if we're in darkness and we look at our pretty clean, feel good, look good, yeah? Get close to the light and watch out. And watch out. Okay, let me just take us to a couple of portions in John, because I loved where we ended up, where the Holy Spirit brought us, with this timing when I finished where I was last time at the end of John 13, and I saw where we were. I'm like, I think I actually used that scripture for a Resurrection Sunday. I think we're going to be there again. Okay? So if you do have your Bibles and you want to turn them on, I'm going to make some brief comments, and next week I'll do more of our more typical type study into this portion. But in John, one of the things that we've been reading about and seeing happen is Jesus makes these great statements, right? They're called the I am statements. And he's already said things like, I am the light, right? I am the shepherd, and I'm the door. And he's actually already said at Lazarus' raising, I'm the resurrection, right? And on a day like today, it's in our minds to think of that. And he's going to say something in this portion that is probably one of the most profound summations of truth that's ever been stated. I don't even think I'm overstating that to say that. But in John 13, right, Jesus had washed the disciples' feet, and we're told, like, he's showing them how much he loves them. And he's saying, I came not to be served, but to serve. Right? This profound, almost crazy thought. Right? Because when we think of people that have status or that are important, you know, you want to do for them, you want to hear from them, you want to listen to them. And Jesus is like, no, I am here to love and to serve. Here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. And I'm doing this because I'm only doing what the Father tells me to do. And I'm only saying what the Father tells me to say. And he says, and I came to destroy the works of the devil. Right? Because the enemy that thought he was going to rob from God instead finds himself literally, you know, I'm not going to say accomplishing, but used by God to do something that literally has blown our minds. He has taken love and has literally overcome every evil with it. Right? Every evil. Right? So when we look at our world, and if you've ever heard me open my mouth, this comes out. Right? There is one answer to what's going on in the world. One. And it was the last thing that Jesus told us to do. Make disciples, followers, right? Teach other people how to follow and hear that voice. Because if you follow and hear that voice, you now start to surrender and to know God and to know the love that he has for other people. And love covers a multitude of sins, and love will win and conquer, and Jesus will reign, right? This is just a brief passing. Brief. I don't care how long you get. If you get 125 years, God bless you, especially if you still got your brain and your body working. Right? But we'd all say, whoa, or when people who get into their latter years pass, there's a degree with which, well, they had a full life. Compared to forever, I don't care how many years you had, it's nothing. So you got to be really ready and positioned for what is in eternity. And that was what God is accomplishing through Jesus, through his love for us. Because he could have just knocked everything out, right? There was a couple times, right? If you read your scriptures, there's a couple times where God's like, that's it. I'm flooding the place. We're going to fill it up with water. We'll drown them all. Right? Their iniquity has gotten so crazy. Right? And yet there was a righteous man. And God chose him and allowed him to continue. But there's a time where I'm going to say sin and rebellion is reaching a place where God says, okay, enough is enough. And when that day comes, it's going to be dreadful. But he's made a way, right? The ark was a picture of the way. Jesus is that ark. So let me move us into just a few verses here in John 13. What had happened is as Jesus washed their feet, he tells them over in verse 33 that he's going somewhere, right? Little children, yet for a little while I'm with you. You'll seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I'm going, you can't come. He referenced saying this to the Jews, and it was back in chapter 8. They actually thought that maybe he was talking about killing himself. It says that. They thought maybe he was going to kill himself. That's why, you know, where I'm going, you can't come. But as we get into verse 36, it's part of why Peter asked this question, because Jesus said he was going somewhere. So verse 36, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterwards. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Pause there. Jesus says he's going somewhere. He says you can't come. Peter's like, but Lord, where are you going? I'll come with you. Even if I got to lay down my life for you, I want to come. Right? I pray that all the time. You know what? Take my life, Lord. Let it be. So here's Peter just overflowing with his adoration and his commitment. Not to mention, he's all in, right? He already walked away from his job, right? He doesn't have a job to go back to, per se. He's all in. And Jesus says to him, I know that's what you're saying. Right? But I'm telling you, I actually know that even today, right? That's what he's saying, before the rooster crows three times, before it even becomes tomorrow, even today, you're actually going to deny me. And it's one of those things that, you know, you can read more about it in some of the other gospel accounts. You know, Peter's scenario there is so much, I'll say it's like ours, even if it's different. Because we're all in these positions where we're wrestling with who Jesus is in our life. And are we really yielded or surrendered? And what does that look like? And by no means does a fully yielded life mean you are, you know, a full-time minister. Okay? Full-time minister only means your vocation comes from that. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are a full-time minister. Okay? So you need to be filled every day with him so that you're ministering his life. He said, I gave you this gift of reconciliation. You can reconcile people that don't know God to God. That's nuts. But it's what he told us we can do and what he wants us to do, what we're called to do. So he knew that Peter was going to mess this up. He said, Peter, I know you're saying you love me. And you know what? You're going to come this way. Okay? You're going to be able to live a fully yielded life. Just not yet. Just not yet. Because Jesus knew what was coming for him. And he also knew, and we're coming up to it, and we'll get to it next week. You know, he's going to tell him about this promise that I have for you. I'm going to actually send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. And we say the Holy Spirit, but he's a person. I appreciate when I hear people call him Holy Spirit without the. Now, the means he is the one and only, right? It's the definitive article, and I get that. But when someone says Holy Spirit, I think Luke actually does it a lot. He'll say, Holy Spirit, you know, because he is a person, right? So he's not a force. Right? He comes as a person to dwell in you. Now, he is powerful, okay? He is powerful, but he comes to dwell with us, and we'll get to that next week. So as Jesus is telling Peter, you know, eventually you will go this way. You're actually going to lay down your life physically as well, because there's this physical laying down of your life in the present, right, of what you have to give and live. And then there's the fact that a day comes when your body will go the way of the grave. So Jesus knew. And what he says to Peter, you know, and realize that the chapter break is inserted. If you have even a red letter edition, you see it's all red. Jesus kept talking. So he told him he was going to deny him, but he actually says this. And this is where I want us to focus, and I'll tie things up here. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Right? Peter, you're going to deny me, but I don't want you to get upset. I don't want you to be frustrated by this. He's going to tell us some other things about that. Jesus has been troubled. Right? This same word has been used several times in John's gospel alone. When Jesus saw that the Jews were upset in chapter 11, and Lazarus' family was crying, okay, he was troubled in his spirit. Because as he saw some of these things that were going on, he knew this wasn't, a part of God's plan. It wasn't his plan for us to experience death, right? In the garden, what did he say? Matter of fact, he didn't even want us to know about good and evil. Okay? Now, does that mean he messed up? No. He is bigger than that. And for me to think I can fully understand the sovereignty of God and the creation of a being that would rebel, a little bit outside my scope. Maybe find some better theologian to talk that way. But I know what he's revealed. I know what he's experienced. I know what my testimony is. Okay? And in this time, he said we're going to have trouble. We'll come to that verse in a second. So whether it was at Lazarus's grave, he's saying he's troubled. Over in chapter 12, as he's realizing the gravity of what's coming on, he says to the Father, my soul's troubled. It's troubled, but should I say, you know, get me out of this? He's like, wait a second, no, this is what I'm here for. Right? Almost like talking sense to himself. I know why I'm here. In John 13, just before this, a few verses before, he mentioned that he was troubled thinking about the betrayal that was about to happen. And if you've ever been either betrayed or denied, it's extremely troubling. So here Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. And then here he's telling Peter, you know what? Don't be troubled. And he's telling all of them, because he's actually, it's your hearts. He's speaking to all of them that is listening. You know, I don't want your hearts to be troubled. Hey, you've been believing in God? Believe in me. Hey, trust. Trust, it's going to be okay. It's not only going to be okay, it's going to be glorious. Right? It's not just like, oh, looks like it all worked out all right. No. His glory is being revealed. Later on in the chapter, if you see in verse 27, he actually starts to tell them after he talks about the Spirit coming, that I'm going to leave you my peace. And it's not like the world gives you peace. I want your heart not to be troubled, nor for you to be afraid. Okay? We fear those things that we don't know about. Especially when our minds maybe run a little wild with what they might be. Right? It's pitch black. You're in your house. You hear something. Nobody says, oh, that's probably somebody bringing me $1 million. Right? If you're going to make something up, why don't you make something up good? Right? Or, that's my wife, my husband, bringing me my favorite meal. No. You're like, did I lock the doors? Is the window locked? Did you set the alarm? You know? The heater's breaking. Oh, I don't have money to fix the heater. Right? The unknown, the fear of the unknown, we always go down this negative route. And here's Jesus saying, I don't want you to fear. Right? And you know why? Because he knows what the future is. And he knows what our future is and what your future is, should you follow this way. In verse, and sorry, in John 16, and we'll get there in a bit. He's saying to them, you know what? I have actually told you these things. Let me read it for you in the Amplified. This is John 16, 33. And there's a lot that's revealed in between here and there, but we're talking again about the Holy Spirit and what's going to happen in the future. But he says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world, you have tribulation and distress and suffering. Trouble, it says in the NIV. But be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished. My victory abiding. Right? The way we're told in Isaiah, you know, forever he shall reign. Right? He is setting up an eternal kingdom. And so Peter was being told, and the disciples were being told, that they do not have to be troubled. That is God's word to us. We don't have to be troubled. And let me just read these two verses because they really surmise why. Because he says to them, right, he says, you know where I'm going, right? And he's already said that to them. And Peter's like, well, wherever you're going, I want to go. He's like, well, Thomas says, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That sentence, John 14:6, really is one of the most profound core truths that has ever been stated. Jesus is saying, there's a way. It's me. All roads will lead you to God, but only one way will let you be with God. I'm not just the way, I'm the truth. I'm not about truth. I don't just testify to the truth. I am truth in and of itself, personified. Right? Personified. People want to know what's true. Right? They go, hey, if I just know what's right and true, that's what I'll do. So isn't it marvelous of the enemy to come up with, hey, there ain't no truth. Create your own. Be your own true self. However you see that to be, however you think you want it to be. Right? Meanwhile, God's saying, I am revealing what's right and true. We go outside on a day like today, no clouds. I'm not sure if there's any clouds or not. But we all look up and we say, the sky is blue. Right? It's the truth. Right? We think it's the truth because our eyes show us it's the truth. We say it's true. Jerry takes it on faith. Right? What's that, Jerry? And you feel the sun. Amen. And Jerry wasn't born blind, so she also, there was a time where she saw that it was blue. But if somebody wants to come in here and say, you know what? That's not my truth. I really think it's black. That's my truth. The sky is black. And so as they go on saying the sky is black, and we try to say, it's blue. Oh, why are you so narrow-minded? Can't you see? I think it's black. It's blue. I want to live like it's black. They can say it's not blue all they want. Does it make it not blue? Right? People can say all roads will lead you to God, as if it's okay to end there. Right? Jesus is saying there's only one way. I'm telling you the truth because I am the truth. Right? He says there, I'm the life. Life. He has already said to them, I have life in and of myself. Only God can say that. Only God can say that. It's a part of why they wanted to kill him. This guy thinks he's God. Right? And it's why down through the ages, as we have opened these scriptures and heard these words, there's something inside every one of us, okay, that longs to know what's right and true. And Jesus is saying, I am right and true. Right? And I am here to lay down my life. Okay? Yeah, I'm going to pick it up again. But I am laying down my life so that while it is down, right? You picture this big drawbridge, right? Opening this way, right? So down it comes, and you're literally walking, okay, over this way that Jesus made with his body to come into what he says is a mansion that he's working on, right? With rooms for everybody. And I'm not here to try to say, okay, what's it going to be like in heaven? And, oh, it's going to be like this. We're going to have this. The streets are gold. Yes, those things may all be true. I think we have no clue. Right? I think it says it hasn't even entered into the hearts of man, into his mind, what God has prepared for those who love him. Right? We make stuff up based on what we think is pleasurable, what we think is good. Oh, the food's going to be great. You're not going to get fat. You're not going to get... Tom, you're going to eat meat and like it. You know? You know, or I'm going to get to, you know, have an adrenaline rush every day doing something else crazy. Okay. Everything that we experience that's good, okay, all good gifts come from our Heavenly Father to enjoy. Okay, and look at what he gave us here to enjoy them with, right? We have sight, right? It's just different degrees, right? We have hearing. We have these senses, right? They pale in comparison to what it's going to be like, right? We're told we're like looking through a blurry glass, and we get excited thinking about, oh, what would be the best thing I could ever do? I think we have no idea what it's going to be like to be in the presence of God, right? No idea, right? But it is perfect. Everything about being there will be perfect. You will be perfectly complete because you were made to be complete in him. And while we're here on this earth and there's people that are not complete in him, this word goes forth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. Okay? So don't let the lines get blurry or don't let some fine-sounding argument, because the scriptures told us, you know, with their plausible arguments. You know, it's like, hey, you know what? Maybe I could see how that might be true. Okay? There is only one way. Only one way. And it doesn't mean that God's not open-minded. Okay? But if he's giving you directions on how to get to his house, which is what he's doing, why do you think you can take any road? Do you use Google Maps? Do you use Waze? Sure, because you put the address in and where you want to go. You hit send, tells you where the cops are, tells you where the potholes are, if you're using Waze, right? Right? But you know where you're going, and you're following the way. You don't just get in your car and say, which direction do I go? I'm going to my mother's house, but which direction should I go today? I think I'll go this way. I technically could have to go around the earth before I get there. Right? And that's if I get there, right? Remember our other analogy, if you're off a degree, what happens? Right over time? Okay. It's Sunday morning. It's Resurrection Sunday. Yeah. Pastor Tom, we have places to go. Yeah. All right? There's only one place God wants you to go. It's to be with him. Amen. Why don't you stand? Let me pray a blessing over you. So, Father God, thank you that you have not only made the way, but that you are the way. You have provided a way for us. So Lord, while we wait for you to come back again, because you said you're coming back for us. So Lord, we know that for your saints, Lord, we're not only coming to you, we're coming to be with you. And Lord, this day, we celebrate that you have opened up the way. Oh, Lord, I'm asking that for each person that hears my voice this morning, that they would be thinking in their heart, have they taken the way that you have made? Have they opened themselves up and said, Spirit of God, come in me. Make me new. I need you. I forsake this way of trying to do it myself. And Lord, I ask if there be anyone here this morning, that needs to yield to you, that needs to come and say, I need God in my life. I do not want to do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. I was never made to do it on my own. That you, Holy Spirit, would draw them in and that they would come forward. But even now, where you stand, if that's you, if that's your heart's cry, just surrender. Put up the arms of your heart and say, I give up. Jesus, come, cover my sin. I'm taking the way that you made so that I can know your peace, so I can not be troubled, but know that I'm okay because you say I'm okay. And that is the only way to be okay. To hear our Heavenly Father say, well done, well done. Not by any of our own works, but by your grace and mercy. So Lord, as we prepare to go from here today, I want to pray a blessing over this congregation using the words you gave Moses. And then Lord, then we're gonna sing that you are risen. That you are risen, Lord. So Father, in Jesus' name, I do pray a blessing over all that are here. Lord, using the words that you gave Moses, that the Lord would bless you and keep you. That he would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. That he would lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Brother Dave, you're going to lead us in song?
Why don't we stay standing and sing Christ the Lord is risen today.
Amen.
The Lord is risen today, alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, again our glorious King, alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting, alleluia. Once he died our souls to save, alleluia. Where thy victory, O great, redeeming work is done, alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won, alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise, alleluia. Christ hath opened paradise, alleluia. Soar we now where Christ hath led, alleluia. Following our exalted head, alleluia. May like him we